Good morning. It is Monday, Memorial Day. I hope everybody's having a great day. It's going to be a great day. Trying to get back to living. Open the world back up. It's been stressful. This kind of stress between relationships about opinions. Who's right? Music always takes me back, man. I don't know why. I wasn't even into it. It's like one of those moments in life where there was just this song playing and it wasn't even one of your favorites, but it had such a style and such a way about it that it just permanently left a mark in my mind. This is one of those songs. Yeah, this whole COVID-19, man, has just exposed a lot of weird shit. Creating separation between people, families. You know, we all get our ideas of what's working, what's not working. You know, it can take the closest of friends and drive a wedge between them. You know, I'm having to be a little more sensitive about other people's feelings. You know, some people are really afraid. You know, especially as we kind of go through this right now and start trying to open this town back up and open the world back up. You know, I was talking to somebody, a friend of theirs came up here from Florida and was like, what the fuck's going on here, you know, with the masks? And like, apparently down in Florida, they're just, it's a free-for-all. Going to the beach, no mask, no social distancing. And then people start giving their opinion on that. What's the basis of the opinion? What's the basis? What's the fuel of my opinion? Is it because I'm worried for other people? Is it because I'm worried for this country? I don't know. You know, when this all started, I was like, you know, these people from other states need to stay out. They're bringing it down here. There's some truth to that, right? We had one of these, when this all started, I think we had a Sunday where it was like 80 degrees and the town was just inundated with people and everyone said, holy shit. That's when they shut down the beaches. And I think this probably happened a few places along the East Coast that day. You know, it was all of a sudden this real thought like, God, we can't do this or this, you know, we're going to spread it. But 10 weeks later, however many weeks it's now been, you know, we got to start trying to get back to being open somewhat. And, you know, there's a lot of people with different feelings. Some people very afraid. Some people think this has been all bullshit. And it's easy. The distance between each of those opinions, there's so much shit that's in between. You know, they said on the news, oh, now you cannot catch this coronavirus from surfaces. Oh, my God. We've been wiping surfaces and wearing gloves and doing all this shit for so long, and now you can't catch it off a surface. Well, that's what I heard. You know, wear gloves, whatever, I don't know, but it's like it keeps changing. But I know one thing, right? If we don't get something going, this town and many other towns are going to just die. And this isn't one of those towns that does well without people. You know, I remember visiting this town when I was 15. It was a summer town. You know, packed in the summer, dead in the winter. I moved here in 94. It was a little of that still back then, but today we really are, you know, we definitely have a ton of people that come in the summer, but through the rest of the year, we're pretty busy. You know, there's still some decent traffic now. So many people have been moving here and And a lot of the people that move here, you think they would be on board and support how our summer life is, but a lot of people that are moving down here, really, they didn't come here for that. They came here because they want, you know, a lot of people from New Jersey, a lot of people from New York, they're escaping that chaos, right? You know, my salon is in what used to be a cornfield. I don't know how many years ago this place, probably 2005, maybe. You know, this was a cornfield. And someone decided, let's build a housing development here. And we're on the outskirts of the main beach town, but there was a group next to it that didn't want it to happen. Save our country. Save our farmlands, you know. We don't need any more houses. But they did it, built it. Here it is. It's beautiful. I love it out here. But more people move down. And then all of a sudden, this development fills up. And then, you know, more people move down. So they build another development next door. And then this people that moved into this development, which was so, where so many people were upset about the building of this development that have now moved in, are now mad about the next development. Because they want to try to preserve some sort of peace and this countryside living. And now, as we try to reopen this town and get back to that chaotic, crazy summertime living, a lot of people don't want it. They don't want the people. But that's what this town was built on. Summertime. I mean, they used to have, back in the day, I mean, they would have like this, a big group of people would kind of set out on the side of the road with signs, you know, welcome, welcome to the summer residents, welcome to the visitors. And at the end of the summer, we would have a bunch of people would, you know, hang out here kind of at the end of one of these bridges with signs, goodbye, thank you. You know, we welcomed them. We were appreciative. And now it's like, they don't want them to come down. They move here, and then they don't want anybody else to come here. Unfortunately, like, a lot of people are hiding behind this sign, this big banner of fear. You're going to spread it. You know, I had a buddy of mine on the podcast the other day, and on the Rehoboth Social podcast, and he was like, you know, he owns a gym, and, you know, taking care of yourself, staying healthy is a great way to prevent yourself from getting sick. And if you did get sick, maybe it not lasting as long. You know, I don't think that this, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I think people that are a little more healthy do a little better. So you would think like a gym would be, you know, exciting, and he posted something and people were writing, you know, you're going to spread the COVID-19. It's like, don't we want to get back? I mean, what is sick? You know, is this closing down the town? Is this starting to create its own kind of weird sickness? You know, paranoia, start judging. You know, if you can't open, but somebody else can open, are you becoming critical of that? Are we always going to wear masks now? I hope not. I mean, I can't see that happening. It's very strange. But it is what it is. Yesterday was kind of cool. We got to hang out. We watched it was called The Match, and it was Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. So it was Tiger and Peyton and Phil and Tom, and they played down at the Medalist down in Florida, and it was great. Oh, my God. I don't consider myself a sports enthusiast, but I like sports. You know, I don't follow baseball, and I don't really follow basketball. But I love football, I love golf, I love racing. I don't hate basketball. I just can't stand that last 5 minutes. It just drives me crazy. My heart can't take it. You know, I just never became a huge basketball fan. I appreciate it. I love, you know, I like watching shows that talk about basketball. Never was into baseball, though. Baseball never got me. I played it when I was a kid, but I never became a huge fan. But some of the other things, golf. I love watching golf. I love watching golf. And I think that's, you know, my whole family was into golf. My dad was a big golfer. My parents golfed together. You know, love the Masters, love the majors. And then, you know, Tiger Woods showed up. And as much as I liked golf, I think up until when Tiger showed up, I liked watching golf because my parents watched it. But when Tiger showed up, and, you know, I remember as a kid reading magazines about this young phenom, this Tiger Woods, and I was like, oh, first of all, crazy name, right? Tiger Woods. But then when he showed up, I really became a fan of Tiger and of golf and watching golf. And it was just one of those periods in my life that I got lucky that I lived in the heyday of a Tiger Woods. I lived in the heyday of a Jeff Gordon. You know, I was a big NASCAR fan. I'd grown up, you know, they always used to have like the Daytona 500 and, you know, Talladega, and it would be on ABC Wide World of Sports or whatever it was. But, you know, they didn't show all the races. And I remember I was working at the country club and I was reading USA Today, and this article was talking about this young kid who was battling the Intimidator, and the Intimidator was very upset at this young kid, and I was like, what the hell? You know, for some reason, the story caught my attention. And then the reason the story had been written is because that weekend was a Talladega race, and I would watch it that weekend on ESPN. And so on ESPN, they had the Talladega race, and then on ESPN2, they had the whole race from the in-car cameras, which was new technology at the time. And I just couldn't stop watching it. And with this underlying story of this young kid, Jeff Gordon, who was taking on the Intimidator. So I just couldn't stop watching and following the storyline. And I can't remember who won the race, but from that race on, I was just a huge Jeff Gordon fan and never missed a race. Very lucky to be alive with that kind of that thing. You know, I didn't see his very first race, but I started watching him early in his career and watched him all the way till, you know, he retired. And kind of like Tiger Woods, you know, I remember his first Masters. And he hasn't retired, but just love Tiger Woods. Some people don't. I don't know why. I mean, the guy has continued to entertain us for so many years. I guess some of his off the course antics or problems, you know, have given it fuel to dislike him. But I love Tiger Woods. So we got to watch that yesterday. And, you know, not only do I love Tiger Woods, I love Peyton Manning. I thought he was fantastic as a quarterback. Tom Brady, you got to love Tom Brady, unless you just can't stand the Patriots. But if you can just take a hard look at an athlete, he's a great athlete. And Phil Mickelson is, I mean, he was like that. He was like the Dale Earnhardt, and Tiger Woods was like the Jeff Gordon, that constant rivalry over the years. But it was fun, you know. I've missed competitive sports on television. I've missed those things. And you don't realize, I mean, even like TV, you know, we're big live PD fans. They couldn't do live PD because he couldn't be in the studio. I mean, television is just, is gone crazy. The movies, everything's gone crazy. What's it going to look like when we start to reopen? You know, when this all started, I was like, you know, like you go to the movie theater, movies are expensive, right? You already have a slight resentment for that. And then you go in and you buy stuff and, you know, like a bottle of water is $3. You're like, can I get a cup with that? They're like, no. You know, very, not very nice. And so when this all started, I'm like, you know, we didn't need the movies. I'm not going back to the movies. They should have given me my paper cup when I asked for it. You know, I had this, like, resentment. But now I'm like, come on. I drove by the movies on the way down here. They have Grease up on the sign. And I told my wife, I'll take you to go see Grease. I love that movie. You know, what was my problem? You know, did something not go my way? And then shutting everything down was just fuel for me to kind of jump on board? I think so. It's always been about how well somebody else is doing and how poorly I'm doing. You know, I don't have any money. I don't want money. I don't want money because I don't have it. That's just a great position to take. But it's not like I have a lot of money and I'm giving it away. It's just these weird little things that get revealed when shit like this happens. But going back to work, you know, getting to go back to work and starting to see the progress of maybe this place getting opened up, I'm starting to feel better. I don't want to live in a town that doesn't have tourists. You know, there's some fun to that. What am I going to complain about, right? If the people don't come, you got nothing to complain about. Company. Fucking greatest, one of the greatest rock and roll voices right here. Bad company. I want to be good company. I think if I can get down to the beach, get a little sunshine, start to change my attitude. Screwed up. You know, there's been I've been getting a lot of feedback on this podcast, all good, and now I feel like I have to like really put out some amazing podcast. Damn it. You know, this has just been about chatting, reflecting. I don't know if I would change anything in my life. You know, I have no regrets. I wish maybe I hadn't stolen as much of my parents' peace and mine, peace of mind, as much of their serenity as I did. I do regret that. But I'm not going to beat myself up over it. You know, a living amends. I make a living amends today. You know, it's funny, my dad, you know, excuse me, I've talked about it some, you know, we've had this. Damn it, need some water. Had some challenges, I think, that most families eventually end up going through when, as parents get older, you know, we've had to, you know, my mom's gotten older and we've had to put her into a long-term living facility. We get to put her in a long-term living facility. We didn't have to. We get to. We're lucky. And, you know, it's, everything's great until shit hits the fan and then all of a sudden it isn't great. And, that's kind of what we've been going through with my mom. And not only, you know, what we're going through with my mom is pretty cut and dry. You know, my dad can't take care of her. She falls. She's having a lot of challenges. Parents and adults and, you know, me, we save up our money for the end, right? For our retirement. And hopefully we save up enough money that if we're going to need some sort of care or something, that we have it, you know, put into place. And, you know, my parents did that. But it still sucks. And, you know, you don't realize, or you don't think about, all you think about is like, what are we going to do when so-and-so gets to a point? But the real question is, how do I take care of my dad? You know? You know, he's all alone. Worry about him. I mean, he's doing all right. But he's, you know, he's sad. And, you know, I try to, you know, be there for him. And as fucked up as I've been in my life, you know, this is where it really matters. This living amends. You know, I'm tired of apologizing. Tired of reliving it. My dad loves to relive the past, loves to talk about the shit that I used to do. And it still brings him anxiety. You know, we'll somehow end up on a conversation. He goes, I don't want to talk about that. And I'm like, why? It was no big deal. No, it was a big deal to him. You know, it really fucked him up. And, you know, I've apologized for it, but, you know, today I just have to kind of do a living amends. I just kind of have to be there for him. I talked to my mom last night on the phone and, you know, just sharing with her, you know, what we're doing with my dad and, you know, feeding him and having him over for dinner. And, you know, she said, please just take care of your father. And I'm in, of course, you know. I'm just grateful that I'm not still in the bottle, you know, doing stupid shit, and I'm available to be there for my dad. This is almost like me, you know, not saying sorry, but, you know, a living amends. But, you know, like I had borrowed his power washer, and, you know, my dad's always like, you're always taking my shit. You're always taking my shit, you know. He'll call me, do you have my ladder? I'm like, no, I don't have your ladder. Do you have this? Do you have that? And, you know, at some point many years ago, I made a point of stop using his stuff because I didn't like all the baggage that came along with using his things. You know, if I used a drill bit and didn't get back to him in time, you always forget. You're always too busy. Blah, blah, blah. And, yeah. I would forget, you know, because once I got the thing that I needed, I forgot, you know. Getting it back to him on a timely manner didn't seem to be the top of my list of things to do. And it's just one of my shortcomings. I don't know what it is. I care. So I had to make an effort to not use things of his because I just didn't want to, you know, upset him. And I had to power wash my house. And so I borrowed his power washer. Can I borrow your power washer? Yes, but I want it back. Of course you want it back. Of course, I get it. And so I, you know, there was a time when I had a truck. I used to have a truck and used to have a trailer. And, you know, when I was in the, you know, had a landscaping business. I mean, I had, you know, equipment. And Jesus Christ, excuse me. And you know, so I would be, you know, if I needed to borrow something, I had a truck. It's always nice to have a truck in your life, right? And at some point, I'm like, fuck, I'm not owning a truck anymore. And I got rid of it. Now I have a car. So for me to, like, borrow shit from my dad is, like, a whole process. We do have, like, a little SUV that I can shove crap into, but it's complicated. And so I ended up borrowing my dad's power washer. I power washed the house, and I finish, and of course, I don't take it back. Could have called this. But he was fine. It's like, you know, I don't need it. He's lowered his stress level as well, I guess. Tempered it a bit. And but he asked me, you know, you have the power washer? I'm like, yes. So he comes by the other day, because we're trying to, you know, I'm trying to have him over, feed him, you know, trying to take care of him. And he's like, no, he calls me the other day. He goes, take the power washer and put it under the patio so that it's out of the rain. And I'm like, okay, yeah, of course you'd ask that. You know, I revert to like being a little kid. It goes in one ear and out the other. So he comes over the other day, and the fucking power washer's still out on the back thing. And so what does he do? He moves it under the patio. And I'm like, oh, great. I moved it under the patio so it doesn't get rusted. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry, Dad. I forgot. You're just always busy. Same old shit. Same old feelings. Dug up. But he was right. You know, he'd asked me to do something I'd forgotten. It wasn't that important to me. Then I came home. I worked Saturday, came home, and the power washer was gone. Immediately, I knew what he had done. My brother, I knew, was coming down, and he had my brother come over and get the power washer. And I was, like, so annoyed, you know. Guess he came and got the power washer, so I call him. Did you come get the power washer? Yes. Would you send Todd over to get it? No. We came over to say hi, and we figured, well, we might as well just take it since we're there. And I'm like, right away, I'm like, no, that's not true. You came over to get the power washer. And so I had to throw in the last little dig, and I said, well, hopefully you can sleep better now. this is my fault. This is my fault. You know, he lends me his power washer. I power wash the house, and then once I'm done with it, I just don't pay any attention. He's like, the power washer's always been kept in the garage. I don't want it to rust out. He's right. And I have to fucking throw in that last little dig. Well, hopefully you can finally sleep at night now. I'm 51. Walking down this rocky road, wondering where my life is leading, rolling on to the bitter end. Halfway there, right? Finding out along the way what it takes to keep love living. You should know. I should know how it feels, my friend. You know, 51 years and I'm still leaving the power washer out in the rain. You know, I fix so many things, I address so many things, but there's still those little things that fall through. I don't know if I'll ever fix that. I've come a long way. Seriously. It's weird having kids, you know, I always say every little thing that I love, my kids have taken and broken. If it takes double A's or triple A's, definitely gone. Lights, pens, connectors. It's like I'm getting this from doing this to my father. Now I'm getting it back. Found my kids outside. My one kid's like, can you take the lid off this? And I'm like, what is it? And it's a spray, chalk spray for the concrete. Where you just take it, you know, write, draw pictures and write words and stuff out on the concrete. And I'm like, yeah, here, take the lid off, and off out the door they go. I don't know, 15 minutes later, my son comes back and he's covered in paint. I mean, head to toe, speckled in paint. Like, what the fuck? Oh, he decided to break open the can. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I'd have broken the can open too. I don't know. I've been getting a lot of people telling me this is a great podcast, getting in my head a bit about it. I like having fun. I love playing the music. I got some suggestions what I should talk about. And then once that happened, then I was all up in my head over it. So I've struggled a few times trying to put this podcast together. And it's just what I do. Not put podcasts together, but I make things more complicated when all of a sudden opinions show up. Just a guy living, reflecting on music, reflecting on my life. I don't know. This podcast doesn't even have a sponsor. Addiction. I want you to stay. Don't go away. I like you being sick. Well, listen, I appreciate you listening. We'll figure it out. Hope everyone has a great day. Catch you on the next one. Bye.